If you got your Bible with you today, if you'll turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, final book in the Word of God. Revelation will be in the second to last chapter, chapter 21. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. If you'll stand with me in honor of God's holy word, once you find it, Revelation 21. We read on God's new heaven and new earth. The Lord tells us, Revelation 21, verse 1, He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I'm making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.'" On down in there, if you'll go with me to verse 22 in this same chapter. "I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no glory of God in its, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is in the Lamb. The nation will walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that our names can be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life by the blood of Jesus, Lord. Help us all, gathered inside, outside, everywhere, Lord, to have our name written in your book every day, Lord. And by faith in you, it not to be blotted out and cast aside, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. Help us to glean from your word and give me the words to preach this morning, Lord. And give us all ears, as you said earlier in the book of Revelation, "He that hath an ear, let him listen. What the Spirit saith, Lord, help us to listen to what your Holy Ghost is telling us." We thank you, Father, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We come here to one of my favorite chapters in the Holy Bible. We come here to Revelation 21, where God tells us about the new heaven and the new earth. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never fail." Heaven itself is going to be gone one day. Earth itself will be burned, Peter tells us, in the new heaven and new earth. We're the first fruits. Jesus, the first fruits of the new creation. He creates us anew when we're saved, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We're born again into the kingdom of God. The old ways are no more. Our old self was crucified with Jesus Christ on the cross. We're risen with Him in His resurrection. And we are the beginning. We're ready. We're waiting on the kingdom of God to come here. Notice here, God's sending the new heaven and new earth. I know in verse 21 of 21, He said, "Then I saw." This isn't some vision that He made up. This isn't some vision that He thought up. He saw it with His own eyes by the word of the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. "Then I saw," the Apostle John saw, "a new heaven and a new earth." God makes all things new, as we'll just read. New heaven, new earth. Because where did sin start? Sin started in heaven with the devil's rebellion. He was cast out, the Bible tells us. Sin is all in the world. It started at the fall with Adam and Eve, as we read in the book of Genesis. Sin is consumed both places so often. If you'll notice, Throughout the Bible, in the book of Job particularly, it talks about how the devil has to go forth to heaven and ask God for permission to do things because he's subject to the authority of Almighty God himself. This heaven that the devil has to go and ask permission to do things, has to go on about, where sin started, will be passed away. It's not our final home. Our final home is the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. All things will be made new, a glorious place, except for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. That's going to be a glorious day. It could come tomorrow. It could come today. We got to be ready. Are we risen to walk in newness with Jesus Christ? Are we ready? Are we longing to go home to this place? Not to the detriment of our witness down here below, but are you ready to meet the Lord in his home after Judgment Day? The first earth had passed away. This place is going to pass away. We don't heap for ourselves treasures that moth can corrupt, that rust can corrupt. Lay our treasures in heaven, in the new Jerusalem, where Jesus is, where the light is. Walk in his light. Walk in the love as Christ has loved us and offered himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, the Bible tells us. He says here, the first earth had passed away. Dead, it's gone. And the sea was no more, no sea, no turmoil sea. It's unknown. You know, it's amazing. You see this throughout the Bible about how God knows everything. The sea is such a great unknown. It was unknown to ancient people, and it's unknown to us. We know more about space and the sky and the stars, however far away the sun is in all those galaxies. We know more about that than we know about the depths of the ocean. But God can search the ocean. He knows it. But it's amazing. Bible teaches this and shows us that. What does God do with our sins? He casts it in the sea of forgetfulness. That's where our sin is put, in God's sea of forgetfulness. The sea was no more. Even that sea is destroyed. Our sins are no more by the blood of the Lamb. In verse 2, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He saw the holy city. Notice here, this is a holy city. The place where we're going to dwell as God's children is a holy place. It's not a wretched place. It's not a sinful place. There's places they call Sin City. Oh, there's places I've heard people call Cleveland the buckle of the Bible Belt down there. Well, that's far from the truth. It's a godless place just like all around. This is a pagan country. It's a pagan world, but God is more powerful than all of it. Only by the blood of the Lamb, only by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary, can anything be changed back into glory, back into holiness, by submission to him. If we're doing our job as the church, there'll be a difference in this world. And I saw the holy city, but this place we're going, it's not like down here below. It's a holy city. What is God in love with the most? He loves us so dearly. He's in love with holiness. He loves what is righteous. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, that we could die to self, that we could be redeemed, we could be born again, and we could live a holy life here below by faith in him, not of works, lest any man should boast, but of works by the Holy Ghost, by putting our faith in him. He said here, I saw the holy city. This place that we can go to is a holy place. Excuse me. There's nothing defiling, as we'll read later on. It's a holy place. So if we're not in love with holiness as God is, you're not going to be happy there. You're not going to like it. We need to be in love with holiness. Get prepared to be here right now. Get prepared for the kingdom of God to come among us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is among you right now. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is when the kingdom of heaven is consummated. It's brought together. Heaven and earth pass away. And the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Notice here, it comes from God down here. Coming down out of heaven from God. It's all from God. It's from him. He's the one that proceeds our life and eternal life. He's the one that proceeds everything. He created all things. Through him, all things were created, through Jesus Christ. That's where this new heaven and new earth is coming down, from God. Now notice here, this new heaven, new earth, this new Jerusalem is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's prepared. If you're getting ready for a wedding, you're going to be prepared. Otherwise, that thing may not happen. You got to be prepared. You got to make preparations. Are we prepared in our lives? Are we in our wedding garments, as the Gospels tell us? Are we in our pure white robes, ready to meet the Lord, spiritually speaking? Not walking around in them, but spiritually speaking, is our robe white, or is it all spotted and muddied up with the muck and sin and wickedness of the world? Are we living holy lives, set apart in purity? We can. Only by faith in God, only by grace of God. It's not by our works. Our works are filthy rags, but when we put our faith in God, then he'll work through us. When we follow him in faith through grace, then he works through us. We can live holiness, only by the Holy One of Israel, Jesus Christ. He's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, as we need to be prepared. In verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, he said here it's a loud voice. He's excited about it. It's a glorious thing. It's announced to the world. It's not a secret. Faith in God should not be a secret. This place is neither, should be secret. He said here, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, throne room of God. He says, see, the home of God is among mortals. It's among people. The home of God's among people, he says in this time. He will dwell with them as their God. What a glorious thing. You know, we can know the Lord. The Lord ought to be each and every one of our best friends. He's the one that loves you the most, that he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You ought to be closer to God. We all ought to be closer to God than anybody on the earth. See, the home of God is among mortals. Even with him in a distance, when he's at the throne room of God, we can have such closeness with him through the Holy Spirit, through walking with him, through the Word of God. See, the home of God is among mortals. How many of our ailments in our life, of our spiritual failures, could be avoided if we would just read the Word of God and listen to the Holy Spirit? Faith like this cometh not, but by prayer, the Bible tells us. Praying to God, seeking his face. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. We want to live holy, sanctified lives. We get in the book, and the book will get in us. The book of books, the Holy Bible, the Word of God. See, the home of God is among mortals, he says. He will dwell with them as their God. That's a promise that God has given me, you, and every believer, every saved person, anybody that wants to be saved. He will dwell with them as their God. You never have to be lonely here below. We have Jesus Christ, God of gods. He will dwell with them as their God. But in this place, we will dwell physically present. We're spiritually present with the Lord now, but we're physically present with him in this wonderful place. We'll see him. He'll see us. We'll all be together. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. God himself, the one who created heaven and earth. We can trust him. We can put our faith in him. He's never failed once. He never will. God himself will be with them. Notice here in verse 4 what a glorious day it will be. He says here, he will wipe away. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Every tear. There will be no sadness there. As I said before, God is grieved in heaven right now when his children don't live in holiness, when his children reject the word of God. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein you are sealed for redemption. Don't grieve God. Make God happy. Live a life pleasing to him, through him. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes in this place. There'll be no more sadness. It says their death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. There'll be no sadness there. No weeping. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Bible tells us those who sow in tears will reap in joy. He says here, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Sometimes we cry down here below. You know, the Bible says those who reap in tears will sow in joy. It's a good thing when the saints of God get on their knees and weep over their sins. Weep over the sins of the world. Weep over the lost in prayer. It's a powerful thing. God counts those tears, the Bible tells us. One of these days, there'll be no more. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. A tear in the sadness down here below, he'll wipe them away. Death will be no more. Death is something that encompasses us all. The Bible says, what is life? It is even a vapor, which appeareth for a moment. It's just like a little vapor cloud. It's here for a moment, then it's gone. What is 80, 90 years, 100 years in eternity? It's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. Drop in the sea of the ocean. It's nothing compared to eternity. Death will be no more in that place. There'll be no dying there. Won't it be glorious? All the saints of God together with our God. All as one family, the family of God. We'll look over there. There'll be old Moses. And we'll know him on sight. Be our ancestors. We'll see him on sight and know who they are, because we'll all be on family of God. But most of all, we'll be there with Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He says death will be no more gone. Why is that? Because Jesus died on the cross and he took the sin, all of our sin. The wages of sin is what? It's death. Death will be no more. He conquered death. When we die and our mortal bodies die, it's not true death. It's entrance to eternal life. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, he says. No more pain, no crying, no sadness. For the first things have passed away. The first things are gone. Time will be no more, the Bible tells us. It's gone, done with. The first things have passed away. They died. So our sins should die with us. We need to be living as risen people. If you'll turn with me, we'll be right back here. Stick your thumb in there, or bookmark or something another in your Bible. We'll be right back there to Revelation. We're going to go here to Ephesians. If we're going to be looking at this place, this wonderful place where we're going to be going someday, we need to remember in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, then we'll go on down in there. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of in the Lord. He says there, Ephesians 4. I'll give you a second to find it. I love the sound of Bible pages turning. It's a glorious sound. People in the Word of God. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, he's held captive by the Word of God, as our conscience should be, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling which you have been called. This is where we're called. We're called to holiness, just as the place of our home is a holy place. Just as our God, our Father, is holy, we need to lead a life worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. On down in there in Ephesians 4, go with me to verse 17. On down the chapter, he says, now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. This is the truth of the matter, he says. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds. It's futile, it's worthless, it's vain to live in the ways of the world. He said, what is it? It's all going to be burned up anyways. He says in 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. That's not walking in the light of God. We need to be walking in God's light. These people are alienated, he says, from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, that's perversion, greedy to the practice every kind of impurity. That's the ways of the world, the wages of sin, following through in that. But verse 20 says, that is not the way you learn Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught on him as the truth in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, the old ways, the ways of this world. He says here, you're taught to put away the former ways of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lust. It was corrupt, wicked, deluded by its lust, it says in verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Old things are passed away. Are old things passed away in your life this morning? Or are you living in futility of minds and abandoning God's ways to licentiousness and greedy to practice every kind of impurity? Are you living a life worthy of your calling in Christ Jesus? Or are you living in the ways of sin? He says here, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. What are you thinking on? What's your mind fixed on? Is it Jesus or something else? And to clothe yourselves with the new self. Just as we'll be in the new Jerusalem, we'll be given redeemed bodies. All things will be made new. But we need to be made new right now as preparation to it. Are you prepared? The church is the bride of Christ, the Bible tells us. Are you prepared as a bride waiting for the husband on the wedding day? Are you prepared for that day, the great wedding supper of the Lamb? Are you prepared? Are you living worthy of your calling, to clothe yourselves with the new self? Are you clothing yourself with the ways of God, create according to the likeness of God? Notice here, we are created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and in holiness. We're created according to his likeness, the Bible tells us. What's that mean? We need to be like him. God wants us to be like him. We'll be eternal. He's redeemed our eternal soul, so we're like him in that aspect. But he wants us to be like him in the aspect of his holiness, that he gives freely. He gives us the kingdom. He gives us the Holy Ghost as much as we want. Do you not have enough of the Holy Ghost? It's because you're not asking. Knocking, the door will be open. Seeking, you shall find. Asking, you shall receive. Asking all the spiritual blessings. You want more of God? He'll give it to you if you'll come to him with a pure heart, open to him. He says here back in Revelation 21, the first things have passed away. We need to make sure, if we're going to prepare for this place, that the first things in our life, the old things, are passed away. We're living as resurrected, as new people, casting off the licentiousness and the lust and the wickedness of this world and putting on Jesus Christ. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. In verse 5 of chapter 21 in Revelation, he says, and the one who was seated on the throne, that's God, very God, is saying this to me, to you. See, I am making all things new. Or as King James, behold, I make all things new. What a glorious thing. I'm making all things new. He's making. It's a process right now. It's not just later on. But he's made us new by the blood of Jesus Christ when we put our faith in him. He's making me new and you new. He's making us new. not just made, he's making. I'm making all things new. It's active. God is present with me and with you in his creation because he loves us. He cares for us. He's not just dropping us down here below and handing us a book and saying, have at it, buddy. You can do it. No, he's present with us. He's got the Holy Ghost to teach us the scriptures and to show us the way and to guide us. He's present in our lives. Are we present with him in our lives? Are we allowing him to guide us by living as risen people? He says here, see, I'm making all things new. Have you made you new? Have you put your faith in him? Is there a difference in the way you're living, in the way it's in your heart, in the ways of the world and the ways of God? Is there a difference in your life? Is there a difference between you and the world? I can't answer that question. You and the Lord can. Are you risen with Christ to walk in newness of life? And are you walking in newness of life? That's what we're called to. Every person ever saved is called to holiness. That's what God is. He's holy. They're saying before the throne right now, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He says here, see, I'm making all things new. And also he said, this is God saying this, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Is this the trustworthy? It's true. You can believe the word of God. You can live on it and you can die on it. You can know it 100% that this is what thus saith the Lord is. We need to be living our lives on thus saith the Lord, not thus saith man or thus saith this person and that person. We need to truly live our lives on what is thus saith the Lord God Almighty. He says here, write this, write it down, for these words are trustworthy and true. You can trust him. We can trust God. He's not a liar. He's never lied once. He's never done anything wrong. Everything he does is out of truth, love, and grace, and mercy, and justice. We can trust him. These words are trustworthy and true. In verse 6, then he said to me, it is done. Sounds familiar, as when Christ died on the cross for our redemption and redeemed the whole of creation. He said, it is done. I am. There's that I am again. We go back in Exodus and we see it. We see it all through the scriptures. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning in the end. It isn't amazing to think that God had no beginning. He's always been. He has no end. He's always will be. And he allows us to be redeemed and be a part of him. Be with him in heaven someday. Be a part of his family there together. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. We're his children right now. Let's live as it. The beginning and the end. Now notice here it says, to the thirsty, not just anybody, not to somebody that's full of themselves or full of something else. He says, to the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. He's not going to give it to anybody but hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. He says here, to the thirsty. Are we hungering and thirsting for righteousness? You won't be filled with God's Holy Ghost. Your cup runneth over with the Holy Spirit unless you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Because he only says to the thirsty, I will. It's a promise as well. If you're hungering and thirsting for God, you will be filled because he says, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Oh, it's not just water. Like Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you come to the water I give, you'll never thirst again. We'll never want for anything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack for nothing, some translations say. I have all that I need. If we trust in the Lord, if we're part of his family, for his children, we have all that we need in him. His love is enough for us. His greater love than anything. He supplies. My God shall supply all of your needs according to your riches, his riches and mercy. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. We can have this eternal water if you'll come. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Christ tells us. In verse 7 he says, those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Notice here, it's conditional. So much in God's word is conditional to us. He gives us the free choice. Oh, there's that teaching that goes around. It's starting to become more and more popular around nowadays that before the beginning of time, God grabbed this junk group of people and says, you're the saved ones. And this group, well, there's sorry, but you're going to be damned to hell someday. They said that didn't happen. God, Jesus Christ, died for every person. He didn't choose who's going to heaven and who's going to hell because God loves everybody. He gives it the choice, free choice of salvation, everybody. The choice is in your hands. God has given you the Holy Ghost. As Wesley said, he's given you the preventing grace, or as we call it, the prevenient grace. He's given you grace to be able to call upon his name. He's given you the grace to come before his throne of grace by the blood of the Lamb and be redeemed. He gives us that justification. Then if we'll follow him, he'll give us the sanctification. But notice here, he's it's conditional. Those who conquer will inherit these things. Elsewhere in Revelation, what does it say? They overcame or they conquered by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame. How do we conquer? It says those who conquer will inherit these things. We're not going to the New Jerusalem unless we've conquered. But we don't conquer with a sword or with a gun or even with our own spiritual might and strength, because that's nothing. It's filthy rags. We conquer just as the saints did, as it says, by the blood of the Lamb first, by the redemption through him, by the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for our redemption, for us, for our justification, for our sanctification, for us to be holy. We overcome this world. We overcome sin in our lives. God wants to make us holy. It's up to us if we'll allow him in. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You want to conquer this world, conquer sin in your life, overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of God, the word of their testimony. What has God done in your life? What is God doing in the word of God? By the word made flesh, Jesus, the written word, the Bible, the word of God. He says here, those who conquer will inherit these things. It's not a maybe. They will. If you conquer by faith in Jesus Christ, you will inherit these things. And I will, there's again, he will, to promise, be their God, and they will be my children. Praise the Lord, they will be my children, he says, and their God. Children of God, in verse 8. It's on the backside of it. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. For those that's not overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, that's not put their faith in him, it's fell back to perdition, it's turned away from God, it's refusing to follow him. Brothers and sisters, that's not what God wants. He wants you with him in heaven. But he gives you the free choice. He gives us the free choice. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, they cowered before the devil. They cowered before sin. They allowed it in their lives. The cowardly won't be there, he says. We need to stand on the authority of the word of God in our lives and the word of God in the world. As for the cowardly, then he says, the faithless. They never put their faith. They never bothered trusting the Lord. Oh, they may have done like the Pharisees and gave it with the lips. But Jesus said they honor with their lips, but their heart is far from it. It happened in Isaiah's day. It happened all throughout the scriptures. No faith. Only lip service. The faithless, it says. And notice here it says, the polluted. What happens when we talk about, I've heard people talk about pollution. You got an old lake, it's polluted. What's a guy's got a bunch of filth in it? If we dump a bunch of barrels of oil in it, we'd call it polluted. We can't live polluted lives and believe we're following the Lord. We can't live polluted lives. If we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we're to be risen and walked in newness of life. If you got sin in your life, go to God's throne. Don't run from him, run to him. Don't be as the faithless. There's so many people that they'll say they have faith that they don't. They're really, really polluted. Faith without works is dead. If you truly got faith, it's like walking. It's your first foot. You step going down the road, walking with the Lord is faith. After it comes work, then faith, then works. You need both legs to walk. You need both faith and works to walk with the Lord. But it starts with faith first. Faithless and polluted. So many people following feelings of the world and ways of the world instead of faith in God's word. And then they end up polluted, as it says. Notice here it says the murderers, not just them. Murder in their heart. You commit murder in your heart by hatred, by being angry without a cause toward someone. If you hate someone, you commit a murder in your heart, the Bible says. It says the fornicators. It's the same thing there. Looking at someone lustfully, you're committing adultery and fornication in your heart already. He says here, the sorcerers. Now, a lot of times with sorcery, we think of some old witch in a pine thicket somewhere running around some crystal ball or something. That's not what this is talking about. Sorcery is a lot deeper than that. There's certainly an aspect to that. If you go back in the original Greek and sorcery, what is it? It's called pharmakia. That's the word we get pharmacy from. He's here, sorcery, he's talking about drugs. And the number one drug consumed in the United States is alcohol that's drowning out so many of God's children from the blessings of God, from following him, from faith in him. The sorcerers is deeper than just the witchcraft, which is a separate word, but the sorcery has that pharmakia, drugs, following after ways of this world. It's a spiritual battle down here. The sorcerers, he says. The idolaters, putting anything, not just some gold Buddha idol thing you see at the Chinese restaurants. Idolaters are a lot deeper than that. It's anything you put before God. Even if it's something good and you put it before the Lord, it's an idol. And all liars, not telling the truth, he says. Help us, Lord, to stand on his truth and tell the truth. He says their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. What a sad thing. What a terribly sad thing. That's not what God wants. But that's what will happen unless people put their faith in Jesus Christ and his grace. An active faith. It's not just a one-time, had a good cry down after the altar. No, I signed the card, my name's written. It might be written in some book somewhere, but not in the Lamb's book. You have to truly submit to him. And continue in faith, lest it be blotted out. He says here in verse 9, Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Verse 10, And in the Spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. What a glorious, glorious picture. Can you see it in your mind? He says here, it has the glory of God like the radiance, like a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. Verse 12, it has a great high wall with 12 gates. He's going to tell us a little bit about the new Jerusalem, where we're going to be, what it looks like. This is all God tells us, besides back in the Old Testament, he talks about the peace of it, where the lion lays down with the lamb, the baby can walk where the pit of the asp is. Brothers and sisters, it's going to be a glorious place. We need to be living as heavenly people down here below prepared. He says it has a great high wall with 12 gates, and all the gates, 12 angels. And on the gates are inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on them are the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. In verse 15, the angel who talked to me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and the walls. He says here in verse 16, the city lies 4 square. That means it's a square. Its length, the same as its width. He measured the city with his rod. 1,500 miles, he says, is equal, and width and height are equal. It's as high as it is wide and long. It's a square. It's a cube-looking thing, God tells us. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits, by human measurement, which the angel was using. He says there that is almost 75 yards, just about, them cubits. The wall was built of jasper, while the city is pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city are adorned with every jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, and the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates are 12 pearls, each of the gates in a single pearl, and the street, the city is pure gold, transparent as glass. Well, it gives us pretty good description there, but our mind, I can't hardly even grasp what that would look like. Some of these jewels I've never even seen. But if you notice here, these priceless jewels, people pay big money for, I'm certain. I know gold they do. They're paving the streets with gold up there. It's just like asphalt to them. It ain't nothing, because we've got God, very God. It's just a rock up there. It ain't no more special. The city is pure gold, transparent as glass, because we've got Jesus Christ. We got more important things to worry about than some rock. Verse 22, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. We've got God right there. Praise God for that. And the city has no need of a sun or moon or to shine on it, for the glory of God is in its light. We've got the glory of God, showing God's glory and his light and his love. We won't be worried about these rocks, these shiny rocks, as beautiful as they are. This is going to be a beautiful place. But the most beautiful thing about it is that we can worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness, as we should be getting to right now. Down here below, the Bible says, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. He says here, the city has no need of a sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. There'll be no darkness there. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But up there, there won't be no evil deeds. There won't be no darkness, no wickedness. So often sin is committed on a great mass scale. A lot of suspicious things happen at night. A lot of it happens in the day too, but why is it? Because people think it's covered up. People think the sky is dark. People can't see me, but Almighty God, He can see the day and the night. It's no different to Him. He can see all things. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. He sees the evil and the good in the lost person. He sees the evil and the good in the child of God, and there needs to be His goodness, His mercy, His light in us. We need to be as He says there, there's no need for sun or moon to shine on it. There's no sun because God's the sun. There's no moon because what does the moon do? It reflects the light of the sun. We need to be reflecting the light of the S-O-N, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. For the glory of God is its light. Its lamp is the Lamb. We need to be doing that right here, right now, in this world as we look forward to this wonderful place. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day. Their glory into it, everything. The gates will never be shut by day. Why is that? Because there's no danger. There's no need in it, the Bible tells us. All things are passed away that's wicked. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. No darkness. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, the best of the best for the Lord, what we can give Him. What's the best we can give Him? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Give God everything you've got in your life. Do it for the Lord. He says there, people will bring into it the glory. All of our glory is nothing without Him. Bring everything. Give everything to Him, and He will bring glory through His Spirit and the honor of the nation. Honor Him. He'll honor you by His faithfulness. He says 27, but nothing unclean will enter it. Nothing will, he says. If you're not cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, you won't be there. Only by faith in Him can we be cleansed. Nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood. It won't be there, an abomination. God help us. There's many abominable things. God can cleanse it from you. If you're practicing abomination or falsehood, God can cleanse you by faith in Him, He says here. But only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I want to ask you, right now this morning, this Sunday morning, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is it penned there? I don't know the answer to that question, but you and the Lord do. He's the Judge of Souls. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it is, as we just read in Ephesians, are you living like it? Are you living worthy of the common? Are you setting yourselves apart for faithfulness in God and holiness and truth? Nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, no doubt there's a lot of people. It's a new year God's given us. People make a lot of New Year's revolution. I hear people say, what's a New Year's revolution? Oh, it's just a to-do list for 2 weeks. People try turning over a new leaf. Say, I'll do better this time. I'll do better this time. But only in submission to Jesus Christ can we do better. Only in the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost by the blood of the Lamb can we do any different than this world. Only by faith in God. He says here, nothing unclean will enter it. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And we're to be clean. Not just clean living down here below. A lot of people in hell never even got a speeding ticket. They were righteous in the laws of the government, but not in the laws of God. We all stand guilty before God in His holy law. We all stand as workers of abomination and falsehood. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're no longer bound in chains. We can be risen with Him. We can walk in newness of life. The old things are passed away. The old things passed away in your life. Only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says there are only them. Only them. Only them. He says here, the final words of the Bible God gives us. Final words of the Holy Scriptures. He says here in verse 20 of 22, the one who testifies to these things says, surely I come soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. God says amen. What does amen mean? We say at the end of the prayers a lot. We say it when we're in agreement, when we're praising the Lord. It means let it be so. Amen. Let's let that be so. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you, is there something between you and the Lord this morning? Is there some abomination or falsehood? However small it may seem and trivial in the world's eyes, in God's eyes it's not. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. Is there any evil in your life this morning? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? God's not willing the name should perish, but all should come to Him. But He's given the decision to accept His free gift of salvation to you. Take a moment and pray and listen to the Spirit's call. What's the Spirit telling you this morning? It'll always be in line with the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your Word is the truth, that You are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. Help us all to be able to say amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, not just with our lips, Lord, but with our lives. So that when we get to heaven, we get to the New Jerusalem, Lord, we'll be comfortable in Your light. Prick our hearts that none of us may be used to the darkness down here below, Lord, but we may be used to Your light, that we may walk in Your light. Thank You, Father God, for Your Son to show us the light down here below as we walk. Help us to walk with You, walking in the Spirit, that we may not fulfill the lust of flesh. Walking with You, that we may be beacons of Your grace, that we may shine the light. Lord, You said You were a city on a hill. That we're supposed to be shining Your light. Help us to do that in holiness and truth and in love, Father God. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people, Your wonderful children, Lord, gathered together here on Your day. Help us to live every day as Your day, every day as Your children, following You. Search us, O God, know our hearts. Try us to know our thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in Thy way everlasting, forevermore, in Jesus' name. Amen.